like to go to the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. And get a couple of verses there to begin this morning. Genesis chapter 25. Verse 21 says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.'" In reading that 21st verse there, that first verse that I read where Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, and then in thinking about the much in Brother Billy's prayer this morning, that so many times I will forget to pray for specific things in our nation, in my life, in someone else's life, and I typically pray for a lot of the same things. And then other times, I believe it's a blessing when we're guided in our thoughts toward God in our prayers to pray for specific things, as Isaac did for his wife. And the prayer was answered. And so, there's no less reason for, as Brother Billy led us in prayer this morning, as we were praying, that God, no less reason for God to not answer that prayer as well and all. Sometimes we question on as far as people in this country working together and coming together and so forth, but miracles happen, and so we're to pray for those things, specific things. The apostles, we see that in there. That's scriptural to do that, not to just leave everything to. I believe, and that's what one thing I've learned on Wednesday nights, and when we first coming up on over a year now that Kathy and I started coming over here and listening to the prayers of each person that prays audibly. And I mentioned this, but it's an experience in my life that I hope that I will keep continuing to go back to. But we see what's on someone's heart when someone leads us in prayer, as he did this morning. We hear, and it reminds us. So many times I think, well, I didn't even think about praying for that. So in Isaac's prayer for his wife here, that she was barren, and then she conceived and had these sons here. I want to concentrate on not really in the 23rd verse the two nations, but on one of those mainly, in some combination with the other. But so we have here two nations here, and it's Jacob and Esau are the two nations. I'll come back to Genesis in a few moments, but in Genesis 36, I'll just mention that several times it says that Esau is Edom. We know that that Jacob became Israel, and Esau became Edom. There's a nation of Edom. I'd like to speak out of, it's actually the shortest book in the Bible, so maybe the children may be happy about that it's the shortest book in the Bible. Now, it's Obadiah, it's a prophet, Obadiah, certainly a minor prophet. Now, Jude, I believe, has 25 verses in that one chapter. Obadiah has 21 verses in the one chapter. I think, and I checked on this, very easy today to do this with computers, but Obadiah actually has more words than Judah, but less verses. But I don't ever want to overemphasize one part of the Bible over another, but I don't want to underemphasize it either. God has to guide his ministers in that. There is much to be gleaned from the minor prophets. I know you realize that, and even for our lives. But this prophet Obadiah, begins the vision of Obadiah, "Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom." So this is concerning one of the nations from Isaac and Rebekah, Esau. Esau, who is Edom, and this is that nation. Geographically, of course, it doesn't exist anymore, but geographically, Edom was somewhat south and southeast of Judah, of Israel, of that nation which is on the Mediterranean, but it was southeast of that, capital city of Petra. And we'll see this in Scripture, and you're not going along in not too many verses, but it was there was a huge desert. There were cliffs and rocks. It wasn't the best real estate, if you will. So Obadiah's message, his vision that God gave him, is concerning Edom, this nation. This nation is the brother of Israel. They're out of the 25th chapter of Genesis. It says, "We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." The third verse, let me pause here at this after I read this. The third verse says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?" Again, geographically, and as far as considering wars and battles, Edom, the country, the nation of Edom, was well protected. And they felt just that. And they had grown in pride and thinking, there is no way that anyone will defeat us. Where we hide in the clefts of the rock, and their habitation was high. They said in their heart, "Who shall bring me down to the ground?" Let me get one a proverb. I believe it's chapter 8 of Proverbs. And there's more in this, but chapter 8 of Proverbs, the 13th verse. To kind of encapsulate and pride. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." So he hates pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. So God hates pride. He hates a proud look. We can go to several places and see that. And that's part of human nature. Even if I somewhat accomplish something that I really didn't, but had maybe helped with and all, and it's successful, then I take pride in that. If I try to fix something and actually didn't break it even worse, and I have pride in that. I'm proud because it happens so little. And so, the pride in the eyes of God is he hates that. I tend to compare and contrast and measure different types of sin. You know, I think of just a little white lies compared to murder, and I think of pride. Well, what God in the destruction that and the judgment of God toward the nation of Edom, it's simply because they were lifted up in pride. But he hated that. He hated it. And so I need to take that to literally to heart. I believe that part of one of the ministers over at Dallas preached on Romans 12, chapter 12, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Part of that, I believe, is to help us. It's in one way, it's to help us be lifted up. But in Jesus Christ and in God, but it's to be humbled at the same time. And all we need to do is go to the life of Jesus Christ and see true humility. He was God, and to where we can't even hardly reconcile it that He's God, but how He humbled Himself and simply came to do the will of His Father. And so we have a good example there. We have to go no further than Jesus Christ Himself. We can go to many places for pride to see examples of that. It's the pride of their heart, the nation of Edom, where they thought they could not be defeated. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Obadiah is prophesying against the nation of Edom, telling what through God is speaking to them through Obadiah that He will bring them down because of their pride. Now, we'll get further into this, but there's another reason down in the 10th verse, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob. Edom would not. There was a trail pathway through there where they would keep Israel from passing through there. They would keep others. It was a well-traveled path. Then they actually joined the adversaries of Israel as well. Their enemies in battling against them. Their own brother. And as we study Obadiah and we read, whether someone is a Primitive Baptist or not, or a Bible scholar, I try to study all of it, and then you throw out the bad part, spit out the seeds, I've heard preachers say, so many would say, they go to Obadiah and say, well, because of their pride, Edom's pride, and then because their violence against their brother, Israel, Jacob, then that's why God hated Esau, Edom. That's not the reason. We can go to Romans chapter 9, in the 11th verse, for the children not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. It was election. If God looked down and saw Edom here and what they did, He already knew what they were going to do, what they would do here. That He knew the pride of their hearts. They knew that He knew their violence against their brother Israel. Just as He knows me. He knows exactly. He did look down and see. Go to Romans chapter 3. There was none good, no, not one. And yet then, Jesus Christ being there with God still and knowing that He was going to have to come down here and save His people from their sins. This is not the reason that God hated Esau. But this is because of something that they did here. I'm thankful, too, that even when I fail God, when I deny God, when I curse God, when I'm angry with God, and whatever the situation is, when I fail and when I commit a sin of commission or of omission, I don't do something that I should, then God still loves me as He did when He chose me. It's the same love. Those that He loves, that remains the same. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be punished here. Also, this weekend at some point, someone had brought to mind someone's a man that was committing some atrocities, some sins, and his family was suffering for that. That's the fearful thing. Maybe I wouldn't mind so much if I suffer. I know I'm going to suffer from the sins that I commit. But when someone around me me begins to suffer, then I fear that. I never want to be guilty of, I say, testing God, and yet in saying that, I've done it, and I confess that. So Edom here, they're lifted. They lifted themselves up high here, and thought they could not be defeated. Thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Being a friend of the promised family of Israel, then this also shows me it doesn't matter where our enemy is, that God is able to bring them down and defeat them. Even small specific things believe me, the calamities in our lives, the enemies, our adversaries are certainly not all physical. They're not all physical. There are things that are attacking us from all sides, where Satan would have us to desert God Almighty in Jesus Christ, and it's so hard many times to stay faithful. But it's the same God. Again, I'll tell you, this is not the God of the Old Testament. This is God. Period. This is God here. As we can go read of the destructions of the mountains becoming molten, the power of God in His judgment is great. But then we see that mercy, and isn't it miraculous that we can see His mercy along with His judgment that took place on the cross? He didn't cast aside. He wasn't like a parent that may spoil a child and say, I've told you 3 times not to do that, and you still do it, and yet they still don't get punished for that. I haven't seen any parents do that here, by the way. They're swift in their punishment, I believe, but because they love their children. But God didn't cast aside His justice at Calvary. He still demanded justice. He demanded perfection, and we have that now. We have that now. And yet we'll still be guilty and by the way, we have these two nations within us. We have our human nature, and we have God's nature. I'm thankful for that. And the whole time then, also on top of that, that being within us, He didn't have to let me know that, but He's revealed that to me and to you of what Jesus Christ did. And let's praise Jesus Christ for what He did, and then pray for mercy. I used to think, I didn't think it was silly, but I thought when there was a sister in a church in Houston thought, well, God just gets tired of hearing from me. I keep talking to Him, praying to Him and so forth, praying for His mercy. He certainly doesn't. But I think about that. I pray for so much mercy in my life, and knowing that He loves me. But Edom here, this nation, God would bring down, and Obadiah came to prophesy just that in this short little book here, one chapter. Yesterday afternoon, I was talking to Brother Jeff Lindsay this morning about this. Yesterday afternoon, we had 2 ministers preach. One was somewhat long-winded. The other one was not very concise. He's a lawyer. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but he was very concise. You can preach a message to someone. I've had, and we see in the last verse of this, it talks of, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion, deliverers. There have been sermons preached to me just by someone's actions that has shown me a correction in my life, and I'm thankful for that. But Obadiah is very concise here. I should say God was through him. This messenger is all he is. So then it says in the 6th verse, Obadiah, how are the things of Esau searched out? That's a statement, not a question. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? God knows the nation of Edom. He knows the nation of Israel. He loves them. And here we see, we can go to other places. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, a major prophet, he says, there's several verses in the 49th chapter of Jeremiah that say, just this is one of them, the sixth verse, where Jeremiah says this very thing. Whether or not he's quoting Obadiah, I don't know. In fact, as I study, again, Obadiah is one of, just in passing here, Obadiah is one of these minor prophets, just like Haggai, that we don't know really who he is. We don't know where he came from, where he was born, who his parents are, and so forth. We don't know. He's somewhat anonymous. Others give dates, years, and we're the 13th year of a king in particular or something. But he's anonymous. That's the way all messengers should be anyway, just anonymous. They should be in the same today as we speak of things of God. And we don't know when, and we don't know exactly when. There were several guesses on when Obadiah prophesied, but we're not sure. And Edom certainly was destroyed. And we know that certain things happened, this violence spoken of in the 10th verse against Israel by Edom, her own brother, that this took place. And so there's much of that. So we're not sure when and where, but we just get God's word from this and move on. In the 7th verse, it says, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. What this all this is saying, that all of Edom's friends have deserted Edom. They've deserted him. And the friend, the ones that you thought were friends were truly not here. And as they became, Edom was an enemy, an adversary of his own brother, Israel, then, and joined together with those other enemies that would take Israel captive then. God saw that. God is punishing them and judging them for that. And we know that this happens. He punished Israel time and time again because what they did to him, but he loved them. He loved Israel and chastised them. So much that was covered this weekend in the preaching that touches on a lot of this. Then in the 8th verse, shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? Now, so they were... Part of their pride was the fact that they were wise. They had wisdom. They were known for their wisdom. Let me bring another book into this that I did not realize this. One, and I'm going to go to Job. Job, the 4th chapter. The first verse mentions one of these comforters of Job here, Eliphaz. Eliphaz the Temanite. Teman was a region, a city in Edom. So I never really caught this, that one of these comforters of Job was an Edomite. He was from, more specifically, from Teman. He was a Temanite. So he spoke, he was one of the comforters here that spoke to Job, miserable comforters, in the 15th chapter of Job. Again, he's mentioned, he speaks again, Eliphaz answered. He says in the 2nd verse of the 15th chapter, should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? He was known for his wisdom. Edom was known for that. And yet didn't seem to help Job out that much here in this comforter. I won't go there, but in the 36th chapter of Genesis, We see some of the genealogy. And Eliphaz was actually relative, a son, grandson, great-grandson of Esau himself. And so we can bring this nation here, Edom, even over to where Job was being, quote-unquote, comforted over there. They're known for their wisdom here. And it mentions in the ninth verse, city of Teman, "Thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter." And we can see today, as I said, Edom, the nation is non-existent. I think Jordan is part of geographically where Edom used to be. But God destroyed them. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners started into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one as one of them. He turned against his brother, his brother Israel. And so besides being lifted up in pride, God was punishing this nation for the violence against his people there. Certainly teaching to me today trying to be a true friend. Who should I pattern myself after in being a friend or a brother? I should pattern myself after Jesus Christ himself, because he is our friend, and he's closer than a friend, and he's our elder brother, but he is God himself, and had the power here to destroy them. Jumping down to the 13th verse, as I try to head toward the end of this, "Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity." It mentions this word calamity several times here. A ruin and destruction, oppression. Even knowing today, sounding like maybe I have a little pride, but it's not. It's in Jesus Christ that even in our and my calamity, then God can and has the ability to and will defeat our enemies who are attacking us in our calamity, in our seemingly our seeming destruction and our oppression. He is able to do that, and we can say that we're part of this. It says, "He shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people." Even in life, God watches after us. He hasn't just left us here. Yes, he saved us eternally. That's been done, completed. We're on the other side of that now, and can see that the resurrection of Jesus Christ through an eye of faith. But even now, his love for us, the love that it took to send his son, deliver him, his determinate counsel there into the hands of wicked men, that love that it took, it's the same today. He watches for us. Sometimes, though, I get so bogged down in the cares of life, the tribulations that I'm going through, become selfish that I forget these. But I need to be reminded that's where I need to look, in everything, in the specific details of my life, in having raised our child, in my marriage, in the church, I need to be prayerful that God would defeat my enemies, my adversaries, in my calamity here, that I might stand fast in the liberty wherewith he has made me free, certainly eternally, but we have that liberty even now, and he's glorified in that. So we need to keep praying, as Brother Billy did, certainly for this nation, because I look at the nation of Edom, and it is not a done deal that the United States will always be in existence. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back, but I don't want to take for granted that we have this home, even here. I'm thankful that I'm for the first time less than 10 minutes from my church and the church that I belong to. But what if we didn't have one in the continental United States? So I'm certainly thankful for that, and we should pray that God would continue to bless us. And yet in that, if we carry ourselves in the right way, that I've seen in sincerity and love and care for one another, that will care for our brothers and sisters, not like Edom brought violence upon his brother Israel, but that we care for one another, and that we are, where that ended, saviors, deliverers, continue to deliver each other out of the calamities that we have here. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. Amen. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church. If anyone has a desire to join, you let us.